Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying covenants, the agreements cut by God. In this session, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, the covenant of land. Let's read our text. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 1, speaking of the captivity. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. And then verses 4 and 5, from the AD 100s to 1948. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God shall bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. The covenant of the law at Sinai established Israel's birth as a nation. God had created them as a people for his own possession, a close relationship between God and his people. This covenant is the covenant of the land, the promised land. Its purpose? To set the conditions for possessing the land. Blessing for obedience, Leviticus 26, verses 1 to 13. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. Excuse me. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. And then there's curses for disobedience. Deuteronomy 28, verses 29 and 30. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. It's linked to the covenant made by Abraham. because they are his people and he is their God, they must obey him. Knowing that Israel will disobey him, they will be removed from the land for a time of captivity as a chastisement. Still, their oppressors will be judged anyway. Just because God uses someone to deal with his people doesn't mean that the evil that's done in that will not be judged. Verse 7, also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. Verse 6 is a national turning to God. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Circumcise your heart that you may live. One day in the future, Israel will possess all the promised land. It's a divine promise and a gift. It can't be broken. Look at verses 8 through 10. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all, turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and it'll all be fulfilled in the millennium. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. John chapter 3, verse 3 down to verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 down to verse 14, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You think about that, and you have a great day.